Just before we get started, the Second Act Podcast would like to acknowledge that we are recording this podcast on Treaty 7 land inhabited by the Blackfoot Nations. This includes the Siksika, Piikani, and Kainai. We would also like to acknowledge the Tsuut'ina and Stoney Nakoda First Nations, as well as the Métis Nations and all people who make their home on Treaty 7 land in southern Alberta. But now that we've paid respects to people that were here before us, let's start the pod.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Second Act Podcast. And today we also welcome back Seth Anderson to the podcast.
We do welcome Seth back, and it's actually a lot of fun to sit back and talk to somebody who we talked to a couple of years ago, and he'd already done so much different in his life, but he wasn't done. He's busy working with artists with the Blue Willow Entertainment Group to fulfill their wildest dreams while he's filling his cup, being a coach and a mentor.
Yeah, and the part of this pod that really was cool to me is when Seth starts talking about how after he made these changes in his life, he felt like he truly experienced life for the first time. And I feel like it's kind of crazy that someone can go through their life without believing they've experienced life. And I wonder if that's out there for everyone, if everyone needs that little thing to truly experience everything that life's got.
Yeah, well, I think that you have to experience the change to understand the difference between, you know, being alive or just breathing, you know. And people don't want to change. They are comfortable in their life, and they don't realize it's a rut until something forces them out of that comfort zone.
Yeah, it was a great pod, and it was an inspirational one for sure. It was great to have Seth back. He did a phenomenal job like he did last time, but we've already introduced him once on the pod. Let's not dilly-dally and waste any more time. So without further ado, here's Seth Anderson.
Thanks, Gord. Always a pleasure. That feels like, I know it's a Second Act podcast, but that feels like three lifetimes ago at least, the last time I was on.
Well, there was a lot of stuff that was going on back then, and probably some stuff that you kind of had percolating in the background that you didn't want to talk about that contributed to one or two of those lives.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm trying to remember when we talked, but it was probably, must have been 2022, 2021, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it was the fall of 2022, yeah.
Okay, yeah, there was some stuff happening. Some things have changed.
Well, it's interesting to talk to somebody who's kind of conscious of it at that point. I mean, we talked about, you know, you'd lived and moved around a little bit with the company you're with. You'd had some success in various capacities working in hockey, which, I mean, a young man in Canada always wants to flex that muscle. I think that's something somebody always thinks they can do, is work with, you know, junior A and junior B teams and help that way. And then you were into, you know, coaching and helping people, and, you know, get a little bit more out of what they were doing, which was a little bit of an extension as in your role as a, you know, just below the C-suite there in a big company. But that wasn't enough. You still had more stuff you wanted to keep doing.
Yeah. And there's still more stuff I want to keep doing. It's interesting. Just you reflecting all those things back. And I just think of the last, let's just call it the last 12 months, 14 months of being a full-time entrepreneur. And it's one thing to talk about it, read about it, think about it. And then now here I am in it. And it's been such a whirlwind, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. And having the opportunity to work full-time in the music world is definitely not something I saw coming or could have predicted, but it's been really cool. The connections made, the lessons learned, the new leadership muscles that have been developed, it's pretty wild. So you've caught me in a moment of reflection, just thinking about everything that's happened since the last time we talked, and just what a blessing it's been to even get the opportunity to do some of the things that I have. And some of the people, and I always kind of anchor back to that, some of the people that, you know, I've been able to build relationships with and help along the way, that's really where a lot of the magic has been and what I've really enjoyed doing.
So you were gainfully employed full time in your quote unquote career the last time we talked. You still had a fairly successful podcast going at that time too, as well, the Biz Dojo, and it was all stuff that, you know, I mean, your job was your job, but none of the other stuff came off as a side project or anything. You were pretty committed to it. It was all pretty involved. And oh, by the way, your wife owns her own business. You have two children that are committed to busy doing other things. Like, it had to almost get to a point where you had to kind of decide what was the most important. What were the three things you were going to focus on? And, you know, as luck would have or have not it, that full-time career was something that ended up on the outside looking in. What was that, you know, exploratory process like when you started going, maybe that thing that I've been holding on to all these years, this thing that's been driving me, might not be it anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I think in that vein, you know, I try not to go half in on things, and there was quite a few things that maybe I wasn't all the way in on, and this crossroads sort of appeared, and, you know, could have been taken a lot of different ways. I just looked at it like, here's an opportunity to kind of, for lack of a better term, put my money where my mouth is. And I spent so much time, you know, pining over things like time autonomy, being able to do what I want, being able to take my ideas and try to execute on them. And I also spent so much time talking to entrepreneurs and leaders in various industries through the Biz Dojo. And it almost felt like a research project a little bit, to like get into the minds of these people that had taken risks and tried new things and gotten out of their comfort zone. And can I swear on here, or is that frowned
upon? Oh, yeah. You betcha.
And just kind of said, fuck it, and like threw caution to the wind and went for it. And I don't even know what it is necessarily half the time, but I do know that through this process, I've found parts of myself that I don't think I would have found otherwise. And just really, to me, it is the process. Like, I enjoy getting up every day and working on the stuff I'm working on and working with the people that I'm working on or working with. And every day it's a little bit different, like what the problems we're trying to solve or what the thing is we're trying to create. But I just love the process, and I feel fully immersed in it for maybe, as you know, you mentioned a few different things. I've coached hockey. That was a part-time unpaid thing. I did the podcast. Again, it was like a part-time unpaid thing. I did all of these like understudy things. To the point now where it's just like every day I get up and it's like, okay, here's the things that I need to do, not just because I want to, but also like as a survival mechanism. And it's different, and I love it. And that's not to say it's been easy. I would say in that period too, I've had more things end abruptly and unexpectedly, or not go the way that, you know, maybe it did in my head. You know, certain relationships that, you know, seemed good or solid that fell apart. So there's been like more ups and downs and feeling and fucking shit, for lack of a better term, but I've enjoyed it. I, you know, not to say that you may not enjoy some of those things in the moment, but like every day is a new day, and I just get up ready to take it on, and I've got, you know, I think my values aligned and pretty understanding of who's in my corner and who I want to be around and who I want to associate myself with, and just kind of get into her and see where it goes. And I've never lived my life like this ever in the first 36 and a bit years before this, and it just kind of feels like living really for the first time in a lot of ways.
I wonder if it's a little easier to kind of have those reactions, some of the people in your life, when you've made a choice like this. Like, if you're just living your normal life, normal in quotes, and somebody has a reaction to a decision that you make, and it's not what you expected, and it's not what you hoped for, and it sewers a relationship, it must be a little harder, I guess, to reconcile than if you go and make like a conscious decision to change the trajectory of the life that you're living, and then somebody puts their hand up and says, but I'm not on board with this. At that point, you've kind of made the decision that you're not really that concerned about what the other people, how on board they are. You're saying, this is my new truth. This is how I'm living. And you're either in or you're in the road at that point, because once you make a choice like that, I think, Seth, you kind of, you don't have any choice to be committed to it.
Yeah. And I think what has been one of the most interesting parts for me is, like, I think I've always had a moral compass and values and things. But it's just now I know what I stand for and what I'm about. And it just makes it easier, I think, to see a situation for what it is. And it's not even like, I try my best to live as judgment free of others and recognize that most people, well, people's opinions are really just a reflection of their beliefs and whatever it is they're going through. So I don't really take a lot of situations even personally. It's just like, does this situation or person, or it doesn't even have to be a person, just this general relationship, whatever it is with whatever it could be. And I know that sounds kind of wishy-washy or vague, but does it fit into my world? Is it part of what I'm going towards? And if it doesn't, it's not even like hard feelings. It's just kind of melts away, if that makes sense, because I'm just so focused on, you know, creating this life, and it feels like the things that are meant to kind of gravitate and stick do, and if they don't, they don't. And I feel like that as I'm saying it, it sounds kind of wishy-washy, or like, I don't know, I'll bounce it back to you, but like, it's almost like, I don't know, just like things that are meant to stick and be in your universe do. And if you're trying to force something, whether that's a person or an event or whatever, it's probably not meant to be. So like, the quicker you can pivot and move on, maybe that's where a lot of these like stops and starts are kind of, you know, I recognize those things quicker, and I'm not waiting a decade to make an obvious fucking life choice that's sitting right in front of me.
So what I'm hearing was, you didn't have like the classic, you know, Hollywood moment where you just looked up from your desk and were like, I'm done with this. And like, I'm, fuck you, you're cool, fuck you, I'm out type thing. You were like, okay, this isn't doing it for me. These decisions, these situations, the drivers of this part of my life are no longer necessarily aligned, and you had to make a choice. But I mean, you're at this point, you're a 35-year-old man, you have a family, you guys are doing these things. What's the journey through that, like, where you know it internally, but you have to start you know, having a conversation with the people in your life about how you truly feel and what the plan is. And you know, through this conversation, we're kind of fleshing things out as we talk about it. It has to be daunting to take that on, right?
It definitely. I mean, I think it had become fairly obvious to anyone who was in my immediate circle what was important to me. And what I, you know, what lit me up, so to speak, in terms of my daily process, or, you know, what I was working on that really got me excited. And I mean, if I look back even just at the, call it the last 20 years, there's nothing from my corporate life that I would go, hey, I'm really like, that was the thing. It's all either, you know, obvious things like with your personal life and your family and whatnot, but you know, running the junior B hockey team in Wainwright and the Biz Dojo, and now some of the stuff with the music, where and I think what it comes back to, and you talked about like coaching and stuff, is like, I'm really, really, really enjoy helping people develop and get to their next level, including myself in that process. Like, and if anyone at home wants to start a drinking game of how many times I say process in this chat today, feel free. But I love being part of a team. I love seeing the development of someone who's trying to get better, and like, just with my own little bit of skills and experience, like being able to maybe help them unlock something in their brain or in their, you know, whatever it is they're trying to do. And I think it just became really obvious that in my day-to-day life, where that was showing up. And then, so I think it wasn't really a question of, should I do this? If you were to just look at the, what I enjoyed and what I wanted to do, that wasn't really up for debate or really something anyone would question if they were in my circle. So then it just comes back to comfort and stability and the perception of, you know, what many of us associate with that, which is a steady income and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that was a hard part, but I would say I wrestled with that long before that decision point. Like you said, it wasn't like I woke up one day and it was just like, I got to make this decision. That's up over a period of time where it's like, you know, and I guess the question I ask myself is like, if it, all this went away, if every single material possession that I had was gone tomorrow and I had to start over from nothing, that actually sounds kind of good. I don't know. Like I'm not afraid of that. Whereas, you know, there's a large period of my life, especially you got young kids and it's like, I got to take care of them. But like, and maybe COVID was partially responsible for the mindset change. But, you know, if you think about that period of time over those 2 years where there's like months where you're just sort of locked up with, you know, within four walls with your family, and you just kind of realize like, all anyone really needs is some love and affection, a little bit of guidance and some food and water. And like, you got a basis or a foundation for creating a good person there and all that other shit. It's nice and it's good. It's good to be able to go on vacations. It's good to be able to have a nice house and nice stuff. But like, that's not what's going to make my kids be great people. Spending time with them, being available for them, being able to coach my son's basketball team or take my daughter to the park. And I'm not saying I couldn't do those things in my other life situation, but like, it was just like this reflection point of, why am I doing the thing that I'm doing, especially if it's not lighting me up and I know something else lights me up and I get excited about it and I want to go do that. And when that all sort of converged into that decision, you know, there's a lot of conversations that happen, but I just knew what was right for me, and everyone who got on board, and here we are.
So what is the decision? Like what, like Blue Willow Entertainment is, it could be, you could be running strippers. You could be running music people. You know what I mean? Like, well, it's.
Yeah. And at that point, like if we just go back, like just even to the, like Blue, I didn't even know what Blue Willow Entertainment was then. Like Blue Willow Entertainment, it wasn't like, there was no, hey, I'm going to go from this to this. Like, that's another thing. Like I didn't have, you know, some other job lined up. So like the level of fear, I guess, and stepping into the unknown. Cause I think a lot of times if you leave a corporate position or whatever, it's like, okay, well, you've kind of got something lined up or you, whatever, but just the way my situation worked, I didn't have some other thing that I was stepping into. So like, and that's kind of what I mean about like just getting into the process. Through the process, Blue Willow unveiled itself as an opportunity, but there was like 10 fucking things between there and there that even made this an opportunity. And now this opportunity, even like Blue Willow is in itself, we're a startup. Like, you know, we're figuring out, you know, some of our core values and principles, I think we're really rock solid on, which is where we want to help artists develop. We want to create, you know, space for, you know, someone who has goals as an artist to figure out what their next level is and then have the facilities, the people, the team, the resources to go do that. And it's not always super clear how that's going to come together. I mean, it's not always linear, and there's so many things that are outside of your control as an artist. And I'm not an artist, but having worked with many artists, like there's so many things at play. But we have a really interesting team that is really uniquely skilled. And I think, you know, how that kind of plays into just your whole, the second act piece is everybody on our team is on like their second, third, fourth, fifth, 10th act in terms of what they do for a living. But the commonality or the thing that unites us all together is we love music. I would actually say there's probably only one or two people on our team that would even call themselves a musician. But it doesn't matter because everybody on this team loves art, loves music, loves creators, loves creating some in their own way. And out of that, we take this unique blend of business experience and skill and background and just try to help open doors and create opportunities for artists to do their thing. And that's what I think is one of the really special things about what we're doing is we're not a startup that's coming in with $100 million from a VC trying to get a hit song. And that's not what we're doing. We're finding and on the search for talented artists who love their craft, who love creating, who want to get better, who want to work with others, who want to build community, and trying to create an ecosystem that includes our team and others to help facilitate that. And I just can't think of it's just such a great thing to get behind. Like every day there's some new artist, or not even new artist, just someone in our world that we're working with that's creating something good that they're putting into the world, or some idea that they want to execute on, and we get to help with that. And it's super, super cool. But to anchor back to your question, I didn't even know this was a possibility when venturing into this life. And then I just sit here and I think, like, what do I not know right now that's going to present itself in the next 6 months of the year, 2 years, 5 years, if I continue to be fully immersed in the process and surround myself with great people and believe in, you know, the cause or the mission that we're on.
So when you're like your previous life in a corporate setting, even in playing hockey, coaching hockey, managing, working with hockey, the measurement is very cut and dried. Everyone walks into the room. They know what the KPIs are. They understand what, and we'll talk about success later in the show, but this is very nebulous, might not be quite the right word, but it sounds like you kind of come into every day, you have a bit of an idea of what the day may entail, you kind of what you want to work towards, what the person, the breakthrough, the person you're beside might be on the cusp of, and you're all just kind of pushing towards that goal. It's the Are you gonna sprint forever when you don't know where the finish line is kind of mentality. After a number of years in a very defined, you're in the 50 meter race, you're in the 400 meter race, you're in the 1500 meter race. Is there a lot of crossover there, or are you finding some of the skills that you'd worked so hard to hone in your previous career? The basis is there, but really you can't take it over the finish line using those tactics.
Yeah, I would say for me anyway, and at least in my corporate experience, one of the challenges I had, so here's one thing I liked about hockey or just sports in general, like you've got a season, you've got a clear objective, you know, you're trying to win as many games as you can and win a championship. Just generally speaking, it's laid out, you know, the time frame, there's rules to making the team, and you're competing, there's teamwork. My personal experience in the corporate world is it's almost like the season never ends. Yes, you have like your annual objectives and you've got KPIs and stuff, but it's just kind of, to me, it's just circular and the rules aren't defined and everything is always kind of changing and there is no Stanley Cup, at least, you know, just that level of thinking. I think in the artist world, in the music world, there's, it's definitely different than sports, but there are more parallels than I would have thought. Like, you know, the game day prep that goes into putting on a show with an artist is not that dissimilar to, you know, game day prep for hockey. And, you know, I've probably helped / quarterbacked putting on 20 plus shows in the last year or so. I don't even know what the number is. It's probably higher than that. But what I never considered really was back when I was coaching hockey, like we would put on 40 shows, events a year. And like, So a lot of the skills that were obtained there, like trying to sell tickets, trying to get people out, trying to get people interested in the product, it's just a different product, right? Like, you know, you're trying to get people to come watch hockey, you're trying to get people to buy something, you're trying to get people invested in these artists or this, you know, what it is we're trying to do. So I think it's actually maybe all a lot more similar. But what keeps me excited about it is just how talented and interesting and awesome the artists are that we're working with, and just being able to bring that to people and create these connection points in this, you know, community is super cool. And I can't remember if you had another question layered in there, but if you did, you can hit me with it again.
No, I was looking for the parallels, right? The things that you'd spent all that time honing. Yeah. And then you were talking about how it's so different, and like the specificity of things in your new career might not be as apparent, even though everyone's there for a similar reason. They're looking, like, to your point, they're looking to pick somebody's interest and get them involved and get them interested so that they'll, you know, ultimately get invested in it, whether it's, you know, with their time, their money. They want to, you want to see that success, you want to see these people. And it's just curious about how you've been able to draw those parallels and use some of those skills that you developed over the course of your life in this new venture. You mentioned a couple times you did have a fairly successful in-depth podcast at one point, and you know, podcasting and music aren't the same thing, but they're not entirely a mile apart either.
Well, it's creating, right? Like, and they're different for sure, but you know, once you get into that cycle, as you know, of creating a podcast, like what goes into creating, releasing, promoting a podcast is not that dissimilar to the process of, you know, creating, releasing, and promoting music. Now, they are different for sure, but you have to figure out, like, you know, what is it? Like, what are you creating in the first place? Which is a whole, you know, creative process. And that doesn't tend to be where I play. We have other people on our team, I would say, that play more in that arena. I do, you know, tiptoe in and out of there a little bit every now and then. But yeah, you got to come up with whatever the thing is. And then ultimately, no matter what it is, podcast, music, product, A, B, C, D, Y, whatever, you got to find people that are interested in it. And how do you reach those people? And then you try, like, you know, you don't want to like pervert the arts or like make everything about business. But at the end of the day, if you want to do something full time and have that be your living, and I don't think there's anything wrong with an artist who wants to just make music and do their thing and not make it a full time living. But if that's what you want, truly, then you have to figure out how to sell it, because it's not enough, in what I've seen, to be really, really great and make a really, really great song and you just throw it into the universe. No one gives a shit. And it's not because the work's not good. It's, you know, a combination of things. People have less attention span. They're busier than they've ever been. There's more music getting uploaded every minute than ever in the history of the world. Music's more accessible than it's ever been. And so, like, then you got to be really realistic of, you know, how can you make a living off of your art? And I promise you, and again, I can only speak to my experience, the artists I've worked with, people I've interacted with, like, you're not going to pay your bills on streaming unless, I don't know, you're extremely lucky. And, you know, maybe you get a sync placement, or, you know, you get charting on, you know, Sirius Radio, and, you know, maybe like those are like lottery type things a little bit compared to how much music gets released every day. I think the best way that you're going to make any kind of living as an artist, though, is you got to get out and play. You got to get in front of people. And there's so many opportunities to do that. I was ignorant to how many opportunities, even like just in the city of Calgary alone, you can go on, you know, apps like Stagehand and, you know, there are people looking for live music every day, and every show, you know, it may not pay you $1 million. It might be a couple hundred bucks here and there, but if you're out there grinding and you're playing a bunch of shows every day, you're connecting with 5, 10, 20, 50, 100 new people a week. I think that's how you build it up from the ground up, and you can take a real crack at being a musician. But there's so many, you know, you got to kind of start with that base template of where do you want to get to? How do you think you can get there? And then at some point you just got to get out in the world and go execute. And it's not different based on anything that I've seen than starting your own business and call it XYZ, whatever industry you're going into. At some point you got to take the idea, create a plan, and then go execute. And within that execution, you're going to make a shit ton of mistakes, and things are going to happen that you never expected, and it's going to be hard and messy and ugly and difficult. But if you really love what you're doing and you learn from it and you know, again, keep moving forward, you might have a chance of something good happening.
It reminds me of an interview I saw with Sammy Hagar one time, and he said, like, when he joined Van Halen, they were just such a disaster business-wise, and Eddie Van Halen used to say, they say play music, man, not work music. And Sammy was like, yeah, but boys, it's the music business, and it's a business. And, you know, you can have that kind of devil may care attitude, but you won't be there for very long if you can't look after the business side of it, right?
No, it is a business, and it's, that's it. And I think there's ways in this industry that I've seen where you can make a living and just do your art. I think, you know, lots of different ways. But if you want to be like a touring musician that's releasing music regularly, all of the things that apply to any good business, I think apply. Like being creative and talented is great. Awesome. Can you hit a deadline? Can you, you know, create when you're under pressure? Can you play a show when you're not feeling 100%, or when you're, you know, if you have a band, something happens and they're not able, like all the stuff that happens in real life, can you fight through that? And it's hard, and it's not for everyone. And I think, you know, sometimes people think it's what they want to do, and then they get into it and it's like, oh shit, like I didn't know that's what this was. But every like entrepreneur horror story you've ever heard, like, fuck, I feel like I've seen in the last year some version of, and either, you know, you're built for that or you're not. And I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just, what do you want to do? And it's been so inspiring to see some of the people who have fought through, and you just hear some of the stories of the things they've been through, whether that's, you know, getting taken advantage of or signing a bad business deal, or, you know, having just a really challenging circumstance, and they just keep going, keep moving forward because they love what they do and they want to continue to do it. You know, that those stories are behind most of the, I would think all, if not most of the artists who end up making it.
Yeah. Well, and very few people ever just, you know, stumble across it, right? Because the passion that's required to stay the course, even when things go well, right? Like, overnight, you know, really no such thing as an overnight sensation. That's just not how it works. So you have to keep pushing forward through the adversity, or else you're just going to be the footnote, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because like I think a lot of artists, at least, you know, yeah, I think a lot of artists, it's like, oh, if I just had a budget, or if I just had more money, or if I had a team, or if I had this. And certainly like budget and team and, you know, connections, all that stuff comes to play at some point and it matters. But I think what I've really, you know, one, you know, working with Eric, who's my business partner and the founder of Blue Willow, you know, he's going to be a great guest for you at some point down the road here. But he left a 30 plus year corporate career, very successful. Was in the C-suite, did all the things, and it was kind of during COVID where he decided to go, you know, take a run at music. And he'd been playing music his whole life. I think I won't get into his whole story, and I'll save it for a future episode with you. But he had the resources at his disposal personally to go out and record an album and make his music and hire a team. And it was very, very hard, even though he had the resources, he had the competency, he had the experience, almost impossible for him to connect the dots to really do what he wanted to do, which I just found so fascinating, because I've worked with and spent time with other artists where, like, if I just had these things, I could, you know, everything would unlock. And that's not necessarily true, because, like, you need to have a good plan for starters. That's actually, you know, if you just think about investing in something, you put your money, not even just your money, but your time and energy into something. Well, what are you working towards? What are you trying to do? Where are you trying to get to with that? And the clearer you are on that, I just think the more effective you can use those resources. And then when you're starting to build a team, when you have some resources to like, let's just say monetary resources to invest in something, it's really hard to know where to put that money that it's actually going to not just pay off, but like get you something that you're going to be happy with in the end. And sometimes, you know, you have to go through those things to learn, but I guess I just bring that all to say, like, having talent and an ability and a passion for something, and even the experience and then resources, none of that guarantees that you're going to end up with creating something that you're happy with, or that it's going to take you where you want to go. And it's just so, what's inspiring to me though, is even when artists go through that, there's like this, it feels like you'd get to this point where it's like, okay, I'm out. This is enough. I'm just going to go whatever. And, you know, the artists that kind of stick through it, just learn from it and try to do better the next time. But I don't know, man, it's such a tough thing. And I think about like where I was, let's just say 3, 4, 5 years ago, you know, working from home, during COVID, steady paycheck, and I have no complaints, and I'm not like, but just like pretty set up, established where I was, to like new guy in a probably the hardest industry, with just like all in. And it's such an interesting like paradigm shift on how the world works. Yeah.
You're really selling it.
It's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not easy. That's for sure.
So what is Blue Willow? Like if you talk about the team and the people and everyone that's in, and Eric had this vision and all these competencies, and maybe there was some change in the couch when he was shaking out the cushions. What's Blue Willow do if you're somebody, an artist who wants to come in and contact Blue Willow to find out how you can help?
Yeah, I think at the core, we're an artist development company or collective. And we can help. I see it as there's sort of like three key areas to being an artist. And there's the creation process, the promotion, and then the performing. And we can help in all those areas. So on the performing side, I don't know if I said this already, we did 13 events in the first 45 days of the year. And we threw a lot at the wall, just seeing what we could do. We didn't really know. And we had some, I think, some success. We had some learnings. Going forward, what we've established for sure that we're going to do is a monthly showcase. And our goal there is to give opportunities to artists that work directly with us, as well as artists that we may not know yet, to perform and connect with new people and just create really cool, unique performances. So our next one of those coming up is April 20th over at Paradise Beverage Company, just on Edmonton Trail, kind of north of downtown there. and what that'll be. And we're actually partnering up with a charity. That's one of the things we want to do with our monthly showcases is partner up with different charities as we go forward. Mental health is something we believe a lot in. So we've got the Breaking Free Foundation on board to collaborate with us on that. The first hour, we're actually going to be doing kind of like a curated open mic where we've got 5 slots, 10 minutes each for artists we've never met before to kind of just come show us what they're all about, meet us for potential future shows and collaborations. And then we've got 4 artists lined up for a full night of music. So for anyone that wants to come down, it'll be $20 at the door. You get a full night of music and exposed to a bunch of Alberta-based artists that you may not have heard before. But, you know, we're committed to finding and hosting high quality artists that we think are worth, you know, your time and money to kind of come down and check out. So that's one part. I would say on the promotion and the artist development side, we're actually going to be opening up our website to have a artist coaching services in there. So putting on that old coaching hat that we talked about before, I've been doing a lot of it more just not incognito, but just through conversation and getting to know people. We're going to formalize that offer where artists can get coaching support. And I know how important coaching has been to my life. Certified leadership coach. I've spent a lot of hours in the chair helping others. So we want to help artists. And that could be anything from life and, you know, maybe business strategy or just figuring out, you know, who they are, to more technical type coaching and support, you know, on their release plan or their production or whatever. So we're going to be having our coaching there. And then I would say on the just overall artist support side, we are developing and will be releasing a membership model where artists can sign up to be a BWE or Blue Willow Entertainment artist. And with that, they're going to get deals on our different suite of services. So everything from production and recording that we do out at our studio here, not far from your hometown here, just outside of Langdon. We've got it's not that I've visited every recording studio in Canada, but we've got a 100-year-old barn that's been converted into a recording studio. It's super dope. So, you know, being a member, you'll get discounts on that. We've also got a couple of sponsored or corporate companies that we're working with that we're going to get partner type rates. So if you're a BWE artist, you'll get, you know, deals at the companies we work with. And then, you know, we want to help artists get to their next level. So we have an in-house merch. We're calling it Rapid Artist Merch. So for artists that want to, you know, get quick turnaround, good quality merchandise and having been in the space, it's hard. It's hard to get that at an affordable price. We want artists to be able to make money off of it. So we're going to be very competitive in that space in terms of being able to help artists, you know, be able to monetize their brand as they're doing shows. And so we've got a few different things we're going to offer in the membership space. And really, we just want to build an ecosystem that is, you know, filled with great artists, but at the central point of it is development and just helping artists, you know, move forward with their careers. And I know that probably feels like I said a lot there, and we're not trying to be everything to everyone. I would just say we have such a unique skill set within the team that we can help in a bunch of different areas, just depending on what the artist is trying to accomplish.
Well, I think that's it, to be a collective in the true sense of the term, you have to be able to provide whatever the artist that's bringing the art, whatever they can't do for themselves. You have to be able to identify that. We both can think of maybe a couple off the top of our head, artists that the marketing piece, they just were better at it. And there's no reason, rhyme or reason why they're the ones that rose to the top of the heap peak, except they were just better at marketing, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know, what I do think is tough, and I'm sure you've experienced this just in even doing the podcast, like when you do everything by yourself all the time, it's cheaper for sure. But like you end up in an echo chamber, and there's just only so much you can do as an individual. I've learned that. I'm sure you've learned that multiple times over. And so what we can be to an artist is a team. And it doesn't, you know, I don't think we're so much like long-term, you know, full-time management for an artist per se, not saying that that might not be the case in some situations, but I think, you know, if you've got a project that you want to do and you want a high quality team to be in your corner and work with you on that project, soup to nuts, end to end, or just for a piece, we can slot in there and be that for you.
I want to be respectful of your time. We've been at it for just about an hour. A couple more maybe introspective questions to wrap things up. You know, we talked about some of the changes that you made and some of the time lengths that were involved, you know, in the decisions that you made, the things that you were maybe moving away from. How did you manage the mental side of it where you were like, man, I'm really doing this, even though it was what you wanted to do and everyone in your circle was not surprised when you put your hand up and said, this is what I want to do. I mean, when you were left alone with your thoughts, when you're driving out to the Blue Willow Ranch to really put your jump in with both feet and you was just Seth and himself, there had to have been times where not everything lined up. How did you manage those times?
Yeah, here, I'll give you a process that I've developed, and it's really helped me a lot because it hasn't been as linear as you can make it sound on this call, and it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows by any means. But one thing that's really helped me that might be helpful to someone else, I did a 3-day coaching intensive with my coach Justin Perkins down in Arizona last year, and I really dove deep into some stuff. Just it was really centered around like personal judgments, and what I didn't realize, even with all the work I had done up to that point through coaching and just really like figuring out who I was, I didn't realize how much self-judgment was running my day-to-day until like I sat down with someone, and like part of the process was like 3 hours sitting on a rock in Sedona on a mountainside of just like every self-judgment I could possibly think of, just letting it out. And he sort of scribed it all down, and I just didn't realize until I went through that process how much that was sort of navigating my life and how much I was maybe blocking myself or getting in my own way or overthinking things. And a lot of it came back to judgment. So it was really helpful to just work through that project and be able to see it, because once you can see something, then you can do something about it. And it's helped me navigate into more of a place of acceptance and, you know, seeing a situation for what it is and not coming from a place of self. Like, you can only judge three things, which is yourself, someone else, or a situation. And I just find for myself, once I know that I'm doing one of those things, it becomes easier to kind of take a step back and reset. And one of the processes I came up with out of that coaching session is every night, before I get to that, what I came up with out of that was about 50-ish self-judgments of things that I was judging myself that I had done or had just judgments, and came up with the reverse of those things, which was this is actually who I am, right? Like, I'm not this, I'm that. And once you see the flip side, it's hard to explain without getting into all the details. But what I ended up doing was recording the flip side onto a voice note. And it's 4 minutes and 46 seconds long. And it's just like, I am this, I am that, I am this. And it's interesting just what was a judgment turned into a saying. And it's not quite an affirmation, it's more a statement of being or a credo. And so what I do every night, and I've done this for a little over a year now, as I sit down with those statements and I listen to it, and I do 100 exercises. So it's usually 25 sit-ups, 25 push-ups, 25 jumping jacks, like basically fills that 5-minute block. And what I found in doing that for a year, every night before bed, I just get centered. And a lot of people talk about like their morning routine and what they do when they get up, and I've dabbled in that space, but I kind of developed this routine where every night, no matter how good or bad or indifferent it was, I have this 5 minutes to myself, and I connect with my mind, body, spirit, everything that's kind of going on. And I have this anchor point that I go back to, and just quietly by myself, I do this, and I never forget who I am and why I'm doing this. And what's fascinating about it is you wouldn't think of this, but that 5 minutes every day for a year essentially equals 24 hours of intentional meditation that I've created, and over 40,000 reps of making my body activate and do something that I would have never otherwise done. And that's a long, long answer to your question of how I have been able to, I would say, stay grounded, sane, balanced, get back to myself during all the crazy shit that's happened last year. That's the best example I could give you.
Very intentional too. It's not something that you stumbled across. It was a very much a process to get there. So now that you have some ownership of it, right?
Yeah. And it's funny because like my family now will be like, oh, did you do your sit-ups yet? I don't know why I always say sit-ups. It's like the one, I think it's the first thing I always do, but like, it's just part of my process.
Yeah. So the way we like to, of course, to wrap up the Second Act podcast is, you know, we talk to people that are doing something a little bit different than what they started out at, or doing something that they don't have to do, doing what they want to do. And when they started on that path, they would have obviously had an idea of what success would look like, or they wouldn't have done it. And now that they're, you know, in process, whether they've on the final path or not, the idea of success has changed. It has to. That's how it works. So what does success look like to you now versus maybe when you accepted the role of Blue Willow, or you finally decided enough was enough at the corporate gig? Like, what's it look like to you? Which way are you headed?
It's a good question. I think at the baseline of success for me, and what is really important to me, is time autonomy. And I don't mean like I need to do whatever I want to do all the time, but like, just being able to orchestrate and navigate life in a way that feels in flow and not like a constant battle. I love that. The harmonious existence of like energy. And I would say in that, reciprocation of energy, and I don't want to like, I don't know if that's woo-woo or what, but like, when you put energy into a situation or a relationship or trying to create something, like whatever it is, to me the biggest benefit is just a reciprocation of that energy in some way. And it doesn't happen all the time, so that could show up as a thank you or a gesture or another door opening. But just sort of being present and finding the people, situations, and things where you feel that energy flowing in a way that is productive and moving forward, and not always positive, but just flowing. And I just think that's what success looks like to me now. And I say this all the time, like, I live a version of my best day every day, every day, every day. There's like elements and interactions and things that just, I couldn't have ever even imagined would be my life. And I'm so thankful and grateful for that. And so to me, just continuing down the path, you know, we may have this conversation 6 months from now and success might look like making my mortgage payment. I don't know. We'll see. But right now that's where I'm at.
The Second Act Podcast would like to thank Ben Sound for the intro and outro music, Happy Rock. We would also like to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like, subscribe, and give us any feedback you can. Thanks for listening.